This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with the mystery of the missing artwork from the Boston Public Library.
At issue are the disappearance of two prints worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, an etching of Adam and Eve by Dürer and a self-portrait by Rembrandt. At one point, they were stored along with thousands of other pieces in a room closed to the public. So what happened to them?
A statement from Boston Public Library President Amy Ryan says she hopes, quote, these two significant pieces have simply been misfiled. But last night, Boston Police Commissioner William Evans said his department is investigating whether a library employee stole the prints.
We're looking at the possibility of an inside job. We're looking at a few people inside who might have access to that particular area.
Well, joining us now to talk about this mystery is Michael Blanding. He's a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University. He's also author of The Map Thief, the gripping story of an esteemed rare map dealer who made millions stealing priceless maps. And Michael Blanding, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be back here.
So these works went missing last month, and this seems kind of shocking that prints can just disappear. But when you heard about it, were you surprised at all?
I wasn't hugely surprised. I mean, given my experience researching the case of Forbes Smiley, who stole hundreds of maps, not only from Boston Public Library, but also New York and Harvard and other places, it's not a common thing that things are stolen or go missing from libraries, but it certainly does happen. So it's not something that I found shocking.
So let me ask you about what Police Commissioner William Evans mentioned this morning, that it may have been an inside job. What do you think? I mean, how common is that?
It's actually more likely that it is an inside job than that it is an outside person who stole the items. I think something like 75% of these kind of thefts are from someone on the inside. And even in the case of the map thief that I looked at, Forbes Smiley, he had been a map dealer for many decades and was really comfortable and close to the librarians and the institutions he stole from. So they treated him almost like a colleague. And a lot of times it's that kind of person that gets the access and is able to take these things.
So one of the things that I'm interested in this story, and some folks out there might be surprised about this, that libraries have things like this, prints by Rembrandt and Dürer. How common is that?
It's really incredible the kind of value that some of these items have. And some of them may not have been worth much of anything when they were first acquired, 100 years ago or even longer ago. But over time, in the rare print world, these things go for a lot of money. And, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of items that are worth significant amounts of money that are in the back rooms of these library shelves. And in some cases, the libraries don't even fully know the extent of their collection. So these things are vulnerable.
See, and that comes to mind. I mean, looking at the statement from Boston Public Library President Amy Ryan, who says that she hopes these two significant pieces have simply been misfiled. I mean, if the library doesn't even know what they have, or libraries in general sometimes don't know what they have, the possibility of simply misfiling these things, does that seem credible, possible to you?
Well, you have to be sympathetic. On the one hand, they have tens of thousands of items, and they are I'd like to know a little bit more about what kind of collection these were in. I understand it was a collection of prints of old masters, that there were several hundred prints. You would think that they would have kept them all together and filed them in the same place. And particularly when you're talking about an item like the Dürer print that was worth over $500,000, you would hope that a library would safeguard that and be aware of where that is at all times. But, it's just the sheer magnitude of items they have. And libraries are short-staffed and short on resources. And so it is a monumental task to keep these things straight.
Yeah, and this leads to the next question, because I think we're accustomed to thinking of museums as sort of set up to guard and, in general, secure the priceless works of art and that sort of stuff. Are libraries in a position to do that?
Well, that's exactly the problem, is that when you look at something like a museum, even in the case of the Gardner Museum theft, I mean, those paintings were on the wall and there was tight security. Everybody knew exactly where they were, and the second they were missing, the alarms went off. In the case of libraries, you know, their sole, not their sole purpose, but their one of their primary missions is to provide access in this material to scholars and to the general public.
Right,
and,
which is sort of at odds with the idea of absolute security.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I never want to see them give up that mission and lock these things away. But as long as you're going to provide access to these things, there's going to be some kind of risk involved. And you can minimize that risk, but you can never get it completely down to zero.
Well, I'm wondering if in the course of your research in the Forbes Smiley case, and you wrote the book about the map thief, is there talk in libraries about the need to upgrade security? And if so, you know, what are the contours of that conversation?
Yeah, the Forbes Smiley case in particular was a huge wake-up call for libraries. This happened about 10 years ago, and there was a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of conferences and sharing of best practices that went on. You know, I saw the libraries that had Forbes Smiley had stolen from did a number of things, including installing security cameras or certain sort of procedures. For example, at Yale, at the Sterling Memorial Library at Yale, they had some of the worst security when Forbes Smiley stole from them. And they went back, and every one of their sheet maps, they put a barcode on the back, and it was scanned in and out of the vault with the ID code of the staff member who had it with them. And that's really the level of security that these kind of items need. And the problem is that, as I said, libraries are facing budget cuts and short staffing, and a lot of times they're publicly funded and dealing with the politics of city funding, and some of them just don't have the resources to impose that kind of security on a grand scale that's needed.
And one of the questions that always comes up, and I'm always intrigued by this, I mean, let's say someone did steal these prints. How easy is it to sell them? Is it even possible to sell them?
This is one of the most fascinating aspects that I learned in reporting on my book. And people always ask me this and say, you know, did they have to, you know, sell them on the black market, or is it in some, you know, millionaire chateau somewhere? And the truth of the matter is that when you're dealing with prints like maps or like these engravings, there's actually not just one copy of any of these things. There may have been 1,000 copies of them printed 400 years ago, and maybe there's a dozen that survive. And there's always the chance that another one could be found in an attic somewhere or an old collection. And so these things can be bought and sold right on the open market, and people can buy them having no knowledge whatsoever of the fact that they're stolen. And it really takes a discovery like what happened at the Boston Public Library to actually find these things missing to raise the alarm. And until that happens, it's surprisingly easy for thieves to get away with this.
Really interesting. In the meantime, the mystery remains. Michael Blanding, he's a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis, talking about the possible theft of two valuable prints from the Boston Public Library. He's also author of The Map Thief, the gripping story of an esteemed rare map dealer who made millions stealing priceless maps. Michael Blanding, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, when we come back, criminal justice, presidential campaigns, and the legacy of the Willie Horton ad. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.